I'm still talking. I have never listened to None Taken.
Dude, I don't know if you remember how we're starting this show.
You said you had a new open.
Ah, you forgot. I love it. No, I have a new line for our show open.
Oh, our new motto or something.
Yeah. I got a catchphrase that I've been looking forward to. But right. I think somewhere along the whole rigmarole, you, sir, forgot what we're doing special to open tonight's show.
I did forget what we're doing special to open tonight's show.
Have you remembered yet since I've been reminded?
No, this is like when your girlfriend tells you you forgot your anniversary and you're like, fuck.
Oh, don't worry, Alan. I've been looking forward to this, whether you remembered
the
it or
not. Talk up.
Yes.
Fuck.
You have been so, Alan, tell the listeners about your day and why you've been distracted.
God. I've been working. I had to go to a meeting. It took me 2 hours to get there. Then it was an 8-hour meeting. It took me over 2 hours to get home. My brain is a little fried, I'll be honest. And I completely forgot we were talking at Breakers. I did not practice at all.
I know. I don't think practicing is going to help anyways. It's not an easy thing to do. And we are not professional DJs, which is different
now
than
I'm
podcasts.
Nervous.
You should be. You should be really nervous. You should be really nervous.
Fuck. God. I completely spaced that.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Oh my God, I have been looking forward to this. And I think as much as I've been looking forward to this, I've been looking forward to how uncomfortable this is going to be for you. I see you rubbing your face. Are your shingles acting up? I don't need to give you a flare up.
No. It's been a long day, man.
And this I'll be right. Is this a problem? Is this okay?
No. Okay. No, It'll be fine.
All right.
I was telling Julie the other day that sometimes coming home after a crazy, shitty day at work, especially during holidays, I would get home and do the podcast, and it would be like an escape for me.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It feels good. Yeah.
Feels good? On the whole?
On the whole.
You know what? Hold on.
Tell the patient you are going to insert your finger into his rectum and that it will be cool.
I think you said cool. Did you say it's cool?
It's cool.
On the whole, it feels good. That's what made me think of the rectum. Yeah. Okay. Do you think there's anybody that listens to our podcast that doesn't know what radio DJ records talk about?
I am sure there is, yes.
Do you want to do the honors?
Okay, so essentially back in the day when DJs actually played real records, there was sort of this skill that DJs would have where they would talk up the records. So essentially the intro of the song before the actual lyrics start playing, they would say wacky, crazy things, talk about the radio station call letters, whatever. And it was like a super skill to hit the post, right? To be able to be done with what your little spiel was at exactly the right time for the lyrics to kick in. And it was just, you nail it, and it's fucking beautiful.
I really expect to crash and burn trying this.
I do too.
But I'm so excited that I might do it. You know what I mean? It's like
I won't, because I did not even think about it. So I have nothing in my head right now. I'm just like, oh shit.
I will tell you. I mean, I think I can do the one I want to do. I think I can do without a cue on it. But I'll let you go the first time. The second time, I'll give you an idea of when the post is. But you can tell from the music. And we have songs that are pretty great for talking up. So I have two of the best. I'll let you choose which one you want to use first, Alan. We have Still the One by Orleans. And we have Out of Touch by Hall & Oates. Do you want to know, before you choose, do you want to know which one is shorter or longer? Would you rather take...
I do.
Would you rather have more or less time?
I think I'd rather have less time. Less time. Well, I'm not sure. So, Hall & Oates, is that longer or shorter?
It's a long one.
Okay.
I personally am looking forward to doing the Hall & Oates one.
What's the name of the song again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Out of Touch.
Out of Touch.
Out of Time.
See, if I had thought about this, I could have some verbiage ready, but I...
Oh, come on. Okay, so None Taken is the radio station, Alan. Do you need a call? Do you need call letters? WNTP, None Taken Podcast.
Okay, I like it. Okay. I'll try the long one first.
How dare you? Fine. All right. Okay, and 3, 2, 1.
Hey, kids. Big Al, WKNTP, Cincinnati, coming at you live, 50,000 watts. Blowtorch of a radio station. We need blowtorches today. It's cold as hell out there, man. It's really, really cold. I'm telling you, it's so cold. You can melt our human cookies. I mean, I don't know what you can do. eggs on a sidewalk. That's for sure. You can't, definitely can't do that. None Taken Radio, folks. Give us a follow on Instagram, nontakenpod.com, trumpdads.com, or Patreon. Hell yeah, let's go.
Fucking nailed it. Wow. Wow. I'm mad now. I have to do Orleans. I have a whole like thing thought of for the long one. That was so good.
Do the short one. Do the long one. No,
do the long one. Do you want to do the same song? All right.
Do the same song.
All right. Let me see.
That was actually pretty fun.
That was fun. You got to keep your volume loud because high energy.
Okay.
It's hard to do. Yeah. I was thinking of doing this, and I was like, I thought I might get some practice in. And I'm like, well, Natasha's going to hear me. It's weird to be like, right? Like, imagine you're living in a house with someone, and someone's just pretending to scream into a microphone.
Right, right.
It's what we do every fucking twice a week. All right. All right, give me a countdown.
All right. Well, I'm not pushing the button.
Oh, I'll do it then. Ready?
Okay.
This gives me anxiety. I'm good. You don't have to give me your fingers.
Okay.
Oh boy, it's cold out there, boys and girls. Word is we got another 8 inches coming in this weekend, if you know what I mean. That's baby making weather. Got some baby making music. Keep it tuned in here to your 50,000 watt flamethrower, as Alan would say. Superstation KCUK. Nun Taken Prize Patrol, Incognito Prize Patrol. You see anybody with a Nun Taken sticker on their car, show them your tits. It's a good chance it'll be our prize patrol. You'll win tickets to see Hall & Oates at the Gun Show in Lebanon. Hall & Oates!
Shake it up!
Hold on. I get
good,
to,
man. That was pretty fucking
I stalled. Let me try it on Orleans, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Here we are on double... Oh, what? No, wait. Damn it, I got the fucking station wrong. I was so excited about this. Here we are at KCUK, the Cuck. All weekend long, we'll be playing your hits. It's a Friday. It's a pantsless Friday. Head on to your boss's office, drop the pants, and give him the goatsy here at Nothing. That was all so good, too.
That was really good. That was really good.
I can do that one better. Okay, this is an easy one. Ready?
Good.
If anybody's still alive from Orleans, I hear word they will be at the gun show in Lebanon Township. Head on up there, get your tickets from KCUK, the Cuck. And, I was expecting you to fail. Damn it, Alan, I hate it. I hate all of this. All right. All weekend long, we'll be giving away tickets to see Orleans down at the amphitheater. Nobody's there. It's just the band. Anyways, we do music. Okay, hold on.
Let me try that one once.
You want to do that one? Okay, you ready?
This one.
Two, one.
Big Al on the radio, WKNTP, coming at you live from Cincinnati. Got Orleans for you. Yeah, Orleans. Like the Big Easy, but different. It's not exactly you.
You stepped on it.
I did. God damn it.
I know. You got a lot more time with this one. This one comes at you. Okay, one more time. And I'm sure the listeners are loving this, but one more time.
One more time.
Let me think.
Well, at least two I can think of.
You got two more you could do?
No, I think two listeners at least.
Okay. Hey, don't forget, the fine people at Valvoline have sponsored Nun Taken Podcast this week. Every fifth oil change you do, you get a free Nun Taken sticker to put on your car. Isn't that classy? So do that and be a big winner.
Damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Boom!
Oh. to the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. And now, get ready to take a sledgehammer to the culture war echo chambers. But first, it's Friday.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Head on over to FungibleNunTakens.com to buy some Nuntaken merch because it's fungible and it's Nuntaken related. Head on over to TrumpGags.com to join the show Patreon. I realized we set up a free tier because there's a couple of freebies in there. And I keep forgetting to set the video up to only be for paid subscribers. So watch out, guys. Your days are numbered. Bump yourself up to the $3 tier. But we love having people in the Patreon. So, guys, you can join up there for free as well. You can be part of the chat. I put a thing up there today about how we want to have some more content for Patreon subscribers. We have a couple of interviews and guests lined up, friends of ours and people we want to talk to. And then we want to do like an advice episode. So send us your like advice questions. You can treat it as seriously or non-seriously as you want, right? The more detailed you want is probably the better because we'll read it and we'll have more to riff off of.
Sounds fun.
But you can give us our own writing prompt, you know. Send in an advice episode. We'll do those. We'll post those on the Patreon. That'll keep expanding. We want to have more stuff there on Patreon. Make that worth your while. Real talk, we're not dummies. We know that you guys like us, and that's why you joined there. So thank you, bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We were keeping the show going anyways, and that really put a fire under our ass. So we appreciate y'all. And if you want to be really cool and you need some help with SEO and marketing, head on over to slickitsdigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. Slickitsdigital.com. Alan, I am so bummed that you nailed that. Wait, your turn. Hi. Would you like to?
Hell yeah. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. The weekend's here. Have a can of beer. We made it to another Friday. I hope you have a great weekend planned. Dude, that was so much fun talking.
I'm so mad that you nailed it. Oh, you had me on. I thought for sure you were going to go with the short one, and I was all prepared for the long one, and then you did a good job, and I was like, I don't know what to say.
That was a lot of fun. We should do that again.
We should.
I would new songs, do that again.
Different songs. Those are the songs. Those are my two favorite songs.
Those are classics. Yeah, those absolutely. Are great, yeah. Absolutely. Well, shall we, without further ado, shall we get into some
headlines? Yeah, I don't have the headlines open. You talk to me. I'm on the sheet. Go ahead.
All right. So the first one here, Houthi forces attacked two U.S. flagships carrying Defense and State Department cargo in the Red Sea with no casualties after U.S. Navy intervention. So
this is quite an abrupt sea change here.
I know, right? Coming to down dog record. This was Maersk cargo ships that were carrying, as it says, U.S. State Department and Defense Department supplies. The U.S. Navy was escorting them through this channel. The Houthis fired three missiles at them. One just hit the water and didn't do anything. The other two were intercepted by the U.S. Navy, and they turned the ship around.
Did you see that one ship where the rocket came down at like a 45-degree angle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's how you're supposed to hit things.
I don't think that's how you're supposed to hit things. Anyways, they turned around, went back to the Gulf of Aden, and docked. This just continues to happen. I think I said it on the show previously, but they don't seem to be very effective with their attacks, but they are still annoyances and potentially could lead to, you know, damage and, you know, potentially loss of human life. So I don't want to downplay it. And it is having an impact on shipping through that channel. A lot of shippers are just deciding not to deal with it, not to bother, even though the U.S. and U.K., et cetera, are trying to, you know, patrol it and make sure that everybody's safe. So it just the craziness continues. The Houthis don't seem in any mood to stop. The real concern
is the long game, right? Like in the short term, it's like, OK, you keep doing that. We'll keep destroying you. And like people are like, Well, we only took out like 20 or 30% of their capacity to do this. So, you know, are you just deterring them? It's like the State Department said, their spokesperson said that the goal is to not deter them. These aren't, we're not doing this retaliatorily to deter them. Our strikes are intended to diminish their capacity to continue doing it.
I believe we're up to like 8 strikes at this point. Maybe 9?
I thought it was 11, but
sure. Oh, is it really? Okay. I mean, maybe more happened today.
9 in one hand, 11 in the other. You know what I mean, Alan? That'll
Yeah. It's definitely more than a few.
Yeah. More than 6, but less than 12. How about that?
And I'm sure it will continue.
That's my favorite answer of how much I've had to drink. more than 6, but less than 12.
There's like a greater than
you know for the first 5, you know, and then after
that,
I would know if it was 12. I would know if it was 12.
Everybody would know if it was 12.
Not John Daly.
True. Yeah. True.
I have so many thoughts because, you know, you see the way a lot of people report this. Like, I listen to anti-war radio and every morning he's like, the Houthis, whose actual name is Ansar Allah. It's like, no, they're called the Houthis. When John Houthi or whatever his fucking name was died, they were like, because he got martyred and they were like, right. We're now the Houthis. The guy that formed the militia. The Houthis are what, like a tribal people?
The Houthis is the name of the tribe that they come from.
Sect of Shias, I believe, right? Am I saying all this right? Okay.
Correct,
But the like gang was named after the guy. The guy died. They said, okay, we're all Houthis now. You know, I am Spartacus. So calling them what their actual like Ansar Allah is called, it's like, it doesn't mean anything. They call themselves the Houthis. Like, you don't have to split hairs here. And God, there's a couple other things. No, there's other stuff. Do you have anything about that plane, that Russian plane that crashed? We'll talk about that when we get there. Yeah. I've been on a thing lately where like, I love anti-war radio. Like I say every episode now in my heart, I'm a pacifist and, I don't like being critical of the anti-war side. But I keep catching things that are being, his agenda shows, which is fine. Like knowing people's bias makes that really tolerable. It's like what we do. Like we say, here's our bias. We're going to talk about this. We'd like to stay objective here, but know our bias going in.
Sure.
And knowing that with him, I'm like constantly catching these things like that, but I guess it'll come up again when we talk about the Ukrainian.
Yeah. That's a couple headlines.
Okay. All right. Should I keep talking, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Israel
said its forces have encircled the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis. Sidebar. Mm-hmm. Do you always hear communist? Actually, ever like 50%
now that
of the
you
time?
Say that I oh, definitely
just, okay yeah. So Israeli forces have encircled Khan Yunis. It also said 24 of its soldiers were killed in the deadliest day for IDF in the war. They were on a couple different strikes. It wasn't like one strike that killed 24 of them. It was for different reasons in different areas. The death toll in Gaza passed 25,000 per the Gaza Health Ministry, which is almost certainly an undercount. Amid international efforts to broker a ceasefire and hostage releases. Headlines back and forth saying Hamas declined Israel's terms. Israel declined Hamas's terms. Israel's reasoning is, you know, basically a sunk cost fallacy. All the people that have died in the war so far would be dead in vain. We can't, you know, stop now. And I don't know. I mean, Hamas knows if they release the hostages and have a ceasefire, they don't have any leverage. So they ball. I don't know.
Yeah. And we actually, the next two headlines kind of go further. These headlines are a little bit older. We're going to talk more about what happened in Khan Yunis with that building. But all in all, I think that we'll get to some more details about it. But I think that what you can say is that Israel is being pretty defiant about its desire to stay in this game and take out Hamas, which seems like an almost impossible thing to do. And the U.S. is trying to push them to conduct more surgical strikes, to be more careful, less, you know, civilian impact, less collateral damage. And that doesn't seem to be moving the needle at all, at least for Bibi's government. So that's where we're at.
As long as they try to eliminate Hamas.
Hamas.
Remember, eliminate Hamas.
Eliminate Hamas.
It's lemonade Hamas.
Yeah, lemonade. Lemonade Hamas. It's gross. Yeah.
All right, so I think the bigger headline here is...
I already wrote down Houthis.
Yeah, okay. All right, these next two headlines are further going into that the Israel thing. So okay. A UN facility sheltering displaced Gaza civilians in Khan Yunis, communists, said it was hit by 2 tank shells, killing at least 12 people and injuring at least 75. Israel's military said it is investigating the source of the strikes. The IDF has so far said that it wasn't them. It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Wait. Whose tanks were they?
Yeah. They're saying it was Hamas fire.
What do they got? The tanks that guy in Granby, yeah, Colorado had? The whole tank dozer?
You know, we've had evidence of this previously with friendly fire by Israel other fire.
Or when they straight up shot that journalist in the head.
That too.
And then they used Russia's tactic to be like, well, we'll look into it. Here's five stories. And then here's the truth over here. And it's like,
Yeah. They're saying that the UN is saying that they informed the IDF of what they were doing there, that they had these people there that were sheltering. They knew the coordinates, etc. And so if the IDF was, in fact, responsible for this hit, that would be a violation of international law, essentially.
I would say so.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we'll see where that goes. Okay. I think the next headline is important, too. Okay. Why don't we go and hit that?
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu stated that Israel must maintain post-war security control over Palestinian territory. So Israel is saying that Israel must control Palestinian territory. If you could move your cursor. Thank you. Publicly acknowledging opposition to U.S. calls for a path to Palestinian statehood. So no two-state solution. Well, one and a half. There'll be a state, but we'll be in charge. Occupation.
Yeah, so the quote is, this is a necessary condition, and it conflicts with the idea of Palestinian sovereignty. What to do? I tell this truth to our American friends, and I also stop the attempt to impose a reality on us that would harm Israel's security. Now, here's the thing. So,
did he say what to do, or did you add that?
No, that's what he said. That
was
the
quote. What to do? Just interject.
What to do?
Like,
yeah. So obviously that's playing to his base politically. However, he is losing support among the Israeli population, many of whom are saying, look, there's just no way that we're going to uproot Hamas entirely.
Lemonade.
We need to get the hostages back, and that should be our focus. And obviously the U.S. has been saying two-state solution. And he's essentially spitting in the face of that idea, saying, yeah, that's not going to happen. Even post-conflict, we are not going to give up control of the security state of Gaza. So I don't know.
But that's how, I mean, that's like, look, no one's going to forgive all the killing that they've done to get to this point. But
Sure. Like,
if you want to guarantee an uprising in the future, occupy it. Like,
I mean, I've been saying that since the beginning. I mean, we have 25,000, citizens killed in Gaza, probably, as you said, an undercount. You can only imagine the number of people that have been injured, maimed, et cetera, the children that have been killed, the family, 85% of the population has been displaced. There's a, humanitarian crisis with medicine and food and water and sanitation. It's a shit show. And I think the international community is really sort of coming around on this and not so willing to support Israel's further, attempts to take out Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So I don't know. It remains to be seen how much international pressure Bibi's government can stand, how much political pressure internally he can stand and remain prime minister. But it feels like we're on a knife's edge at this point, at least in my opinion.
So what would happen? So there's obviously an opposition, not just to him, but he's the ruling member of his coalition.
Right. So either he becomes so politically untenable that his own party unseats him.
And then he would be replaced by like Benny Gantz or like one, which perhaps would be fine. Benny Gantz was one of the former prime ministers who was willing to bring Arabs in and into the coalition.
Benny Gantz would probably be best case scenario, but yeah. I don't.
He's very much a moderate, even like in Israeli politics view.
But
right? That
coalition that Netanyahu built would not survive with Benny Gantz's leadership. There's no way.
Yeah, but he made a coalition prior, and then if Bibi's biggest parties in the coalition are no longer are persona
viable,
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know enough about those right wing other parties, how much they control in the Knesset.
Knesset. Yeah. I think ultimately it's going to end up the Israeli population having to pressure.
Robot. robot. Pressure what?
Obviously, if he's saying no, this.
No, start over. Pressure what?
I don't think Netanyahu is going to respond to outside international pressure. I mean, if he's saying this in the face of what America, mm-hmm. his largest ally, is trying to promote, if he's willing to just go against that completely and not even take it into consideration, the only thing that's going to change is if the Israeli populace
well, hold on.
Okay.
Are we forgetting something?
What's that?
He famously wants Donald Trump to be president, right?
True.
Okay. Like, do I have to say it? Like, people can think, right? Like, that would clearly be on his agenda to fuck up a 2024 for Joe Brandon.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. It'd be no different. He's getting all the support he wants, but that's not the point, right? Like, it's having someone like Trump in power because they're all in the dictators club.
So, but the Israeli internal politics could take him out before that happens. I mean, we got 10 months to go.
Yeah, so. But what does he have to gain by taking his foot off the pedal? They're not going to save him if he does.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like, you're no longer useful when the war's over, right? Like Churchill or DeSantis after COVID.
I don't think Netanyahu survives once the conflict's over.
That's what I just said.
That's all he's got.
What you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. I'm not used to this. Okay. All right. Well, I just thought of that in the moment, so I guess that was...
All right. What's the bigger headline?
I mean, I don't know. Israel?
Yeah, I think Netanyahu kind of...
Yeah, wait. Where was the tank story? Was that the first one there?
Yeah.
Tank story.
I think Netanyahu thumbing his nose at America essentially is the bigger story.
Okay. Netanyahu.
Not in you. All right. Turkey's parliament approves Sweden's 2022 NATO membership bid. With President Erdogan's approval expected, Hungary will be the last holdout. So Erdogan had held out. Yeah, they're going to be in. Erdogan had held out his approval based on what he claimed was Sweden's harboring of Kurdish terrorists, okay. Something like that. And Sweden passed some new laws that sort of placated him in that regard. And so he's come around. So their parliament approved it, which had to happen first, and then he'll likely sign it. And then we'll see. Orban is the last one to remain standing who's opposing this. He has said that he's willing to have some dialogue with the Swiss. The Swiss are like, yeah, we don't really need to do anything to placate you. However, we will have conversations.
Yeah, so, wasn't there, I mean, I know it needs to be unanimous, but isn't there some way where they like bypassed Hungary's voting on this? Did you literally just say that or no? So
I don't believe so. Every NATO member has...
So it's just a pressure campaign and they are like, we don't have to accommodate
right.
you? Okay.
Every NATO member has the ability to veto a new NATO member being added, and one country vetoing it can prevent it from happening.
Right.
So that's where we're at.
So I don't know. I kept seeing things today while I was at work where people were like, yeah, Sweden's in.
Pretty much. They're pretty much in. I think Orban will come around.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah. Why? If he hasn't yet, why would he? Like the second Turkey did, he could say at least I was last. What's the difference between last and last plus 2 days?
Well, he's already signaling that he's willing to have dialogue. I don't know if he's going to try to extract something from the Swiss, you know, as a sort of quid pro quo to make this happen. But he's on an island.
He's going to make it go through that process at least.
He's on an island as it is in the EU. This with Turkey, you know, backing down and saying, yeah, we're okay with it. I just don't see
it. Dude, you see that map? Turkey? No, it was a news station in Turkey. But yeah.
It's in another news.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
No, you're good. The next one.
Russia. Russia accused Ukraine of shooting down a military plane transporting 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war for exchange, but without clear evidence so far. So
this is the one you were talking about.
Yes. Now, at the same time, Ukraine did say that they were using their air defense systems in that region. They said so at the time. They said our defenses are on and active. Would be interesting if this was done with a Patriot, if it was, you know, but yeah, it was, I mean, it's a commercial jet. It seems weird that they would, but it's not a commercial jet, but
it's a military jet.
Yeah. But it's not a fighter jet. That's what I was going after.
Missile
or something. Yeah. But anyways, so that was how it was reported on anti-war radio, which is like one of my, it's probably the second, I listen to NPR in the morning, like first thing, because it's not going to get me riled up.
Mm.
And then I get into anti-war immediately after that. It's like, usually I'm
lots
showering.
Lots of calm voices over there on NPR. And then,
yeah, like I'm usually showering change. With NPR and yeah, then yeah. I go, yeah. And then I'm like, yeah, making my coffee. It's anti-war. All right. And then I go to The Economist. If the New York Times is anything good, I'll play them. And then I'll get into like whatever Reason's putting out or Times Lawfare or something today. Like that. No, I thought the Times was good today about working from home, the hybrid work.
Yeah. I punched out like 10 minutes. Well,
yeah. Can't relate. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
All right, so a couple things about this. So first of all, Ukraine has not confirmed nor denied that they did this, which is kind of their MO. They usually do that. There is an unnamed source in the article connected to this headline, which says who is a U.S. Military person who won't go on the record, who says that they are not sure that there were actually POWs on this plane. There has been some suspicion that perhaps his plane was actually transporting munitions, missiles.
Well, people were saying that Russia shot it down on its own, like not on purpose. Like,
I've heard that as well.
Because it's been a lot of Alan. There's been a lot of friendly fire on Russia.
There has, yeah, there has. The Ukrainians have said that they were in talks for a POW switch, essentially.
Yes, and that was and it was. They had tweeted or something that it was happening that day.
But crucially, they said that every time they've done this in the past, where they've done these prisoner swaps with Russia, that Russia has indicated the airspace that they were going to be using to enable that so that, you know, the plane wouldn't be attacked. And that did not happen. They're saying,
oh, yeah, I mean, that's common sense. They would do that.
You would think so. But they're saying that didn't happen here. So I don't know. This story could go anyway at this point. We really don't know enough we can speculate, but there's really no,
you know what, it's sad that it's just as plausible that Russia shot down its own jet.
It is
that Ukraine shot something down seemingly on, you know, in a war zone, right
yeah. All right, what's the bigger
Sweden head? Getting into NATO seems to be bigger, but it hasn't happened yet.
I think it's a bigger deal.
Okay, Sweden. All right,
Sweden,
your turn, sir.
All right. The
Still
Supreme
upset
Court...
you did those records better than me.
Let it go, man.
No.
The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that federal Border Patrol agents can remove razor wire installed by Texas on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Oh, boy.
A Biden administration request as an underlying lawsuit continues. So I have the breakdown here.
Do you know what? I feel like this is something that I've paid attention to all along the way, and it feels like it just really blew up this week. It's honestly, like, especially in the last like 48 hours, right?
Yeah.
So I don't even feel like I know everything in something that I feel like I was kept abreast of. Can you, if you just read this, can you summarize?
Yeah, I'll give you a few details.
Do you have anything about all the states that backed up Texas?
I'll get that ready. So Abbott has made some aggressive moves.
Favorite sitting governor.
he's made some very aggressive moves on the border, and it's sort of just almost gone rogue, and just, you know, in what he's doing there. This Supreme Court decision was a 5-4, as it said, so very close. It was Roberts, ACAB, Ketanji, Kagan, Sotomayor, who's sided with the government here, while Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Thomas sided with Texas. So they did not explain their votes.
Wait, who swung? Was it Master Chief?
Yeah, Roberts. Okay. Yeah. So they didn't explain their decision at all. They just said, this is the decision, which they can do. They're allowed to do that.
They're like, nope, don't need this on record.
So there was no opinion on either side written. So they just said, yep, this is what we're going to say. So this is a win for the administration, essentially, because they can.
Is a constitutional crisis a win? Alan, it's now coming down to, yes, you're a state and you can protect your borders. That happens to also be a federal border. We oversee federal borders. You have to take that down. And then they're like, okay, what's that Latin phrase? Come and get them or whatever. Come and take them. Like,
yeah.
And
over my dead body.
Yeah. We've got
so
Texas.
It's a states' rights thing. We should ask Nikki Haley about
dude,
it.
Dude, it's a fucking... Nikki Haley is such a... I don't know why this crossed my brain, but just, I mean, you listeners, you, Alan, people that observe me know damn well why, but I don't know why this random thought popped into my brain. What if your name was Ricky Haley? Like, your whole life, you know, just... You're Ricky, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, who's that? That's Ricky. Okay. But you were Ricky Haley until, like, 6 months ago. We should find a Ricky Haley on Facebook and be like, hey, do you want to come on the show? Talk about what life's been like.
Do you remember early Facebook where there'd be groups of people with just the same name?
No.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that there was weird shit like that. Not that specific thing, but that's hilarious.
I was in one. I remember it was
Alan,
weird.
With the spelling? Well, that Alan with two spelling. A's, two L's, and an N is very weird.
Yeah. Oh. I met some interesting people in that.
I'm sure. Yes. Turns out, same name, not a good qualifier.
Not at all.
Texas National Guard, Texas Rangers. So we're listing the parties involved. So, you know,
Walker,
you go
Texas Ranger.
Yes. You know, when you go on the wiki, God, that light is too bright. You know, when you go on the Wikipedia, how it's got the parties involved in a wars, and it says like it's two columns, right? So on one side, it's federal government and the U.S. Border Patrol. And then on the other side is Texas National Guard, Texas Rangers, supported by Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Seymour. The National Border Patrol Council also. Lead figures, Joe Biden versus Greg Abbott, supported by Donald Trump. This is on Wikipedia. That is a Wikipedia entry.
That's way more than the usual suspects.
Dude, this is a fucking problem. This is a problem. The Republicans are so rambunctious and feisty. You know, they're rapscallions even. Like, they're like, it's the fucking border time. We got the election coming up. Like, that's a winner with the... I mean, if build a wall was the... Because I know everybody knows this, but allow me. Trump was going around at the beginning of his 2016 campaign just trying out catchphrases like we did here on None Taken. and finally he said, build a wall, and they started chanting it. And afterwards he's like, hey, I think we're going to do that build a wall thing, you know? Yeah, and that's a story from inside his campaign. That's not Dish, you know? And so that's what's happening. They're like, okay, if build a wall got the guy, you know, elected and the chants going, obviously that's what works with the base. As soon as the economy was looking good enough, I know our 401ks are still below where they were before inflation hit and all our buying power is diminished because inflation prices won't, you know, get wages haven't caught up with inflation and maybe never will. It's a problem. But once all the numbers started looking good, they pivoted to the border. And they and this is just what they're going to ride all the way to the election because it's a winner. Like, it's a good move. But, like, I'm so fucking cynical. Like, I can't not see that.
you did it.
Well, okay, especially because Biden met with congressional leaders, like, earlier in the last week to discuss an immigration deal that would also do the Ukraine funding, all that stuff. He spoke with Johnson last week or the week before, who purportedly said he strongly encouraged the president to use his executive order to secure the southern border.
Yeah, but
On that so that I can elaborate on that.
Well, Obama tried to do that. And the Supreme Court struck it down. They said he didn't have the executive authority to do it. I really do believe
it's wild
because
the unitary executive theory gets you into war, but not that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I really do think that Biden has an opportunity here to come out and say, like, if you guys want border security, I'm here for it. Let's talk.
Yeah.
And so far, the Republicans have been happy to campaign on it, but not willing to do anything about it.
And they've said it out loud because there's too many of them. And like I said, they're rambunctious. And they're like, no, I'm not going to do anything to help Joe Biden before his election. I want these things fixed, but I won't do it until after November. Like, people have said that out loud.
Yes. Yeah. McConnell has basically said that in a speech. Like, we need to pivot. Yeah. We have to don't worry about the border anymore with approving Ukraine aid. We need to separate these issues because we don't really want the border to get fixed.
But I mean, you're right. And like the same words are being said by like a random senator out of Oklahoma, you know, like it's what it's
party
it's,
message.
It's the it's move. Honest. It's the message. Yeah, of course. But like, dude, this is where I get so frustrated with Joe, man. By the way, our dogs that we're fostering, you know, one's Jack White, the dog, and the other one is Jolene. And we call her Joe. And she's so tired. I'm always like, Sleepy Joe. Hey, Sleepy Joe. She's such a cute little girl.
You should record a video of that.
I should. I will. Yeah. Where was I? Okay. So this is where I get so frustrated with Sleepy Joe. Like, it really should not be hard for him to just go out there and say, look, the Republicans want me to use the presidential executive order process to make this change. Mm-hmm. You don't want that. We feel like that's a misuse of the presidential authority. And we don't think that the same moves that outraged us under the last guy are going to be the moves that we want to use to fix the things that you're asking for right now. The legitimate process exists. Make political deals. The people that are getting you this upset are doing so and not providing solutions. I'm giving you an option here. I offered them a deal and they said, no, they want me to use my executive authority. I think that's not the right way to handle this. Like, dude, I'm not trained at this. Was there anything wrong with what I just said?
No, not at all.
Like, do your job. Don't make dad tell you to.
Right. I think that would be a very powerful
message. And then they're only doing that to bait him because, like you said about Obamas, right? They turned it around right away and said, like, it's against the Constitution to do it. So they want him to use his presidential authority.
Right.
They will ignore the fact that they asked him to and then accuse him of shit.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's maybe not Joe's style necessarily, but
to what?
Be.
To be straight up like that. That was
it can be sometimes.
That's okay. That's, yeah. In the 80s. Yes.
I think that would 100%. I think that's the right play. He is, according to reporting, in talks with people in the House and Senate about some sort of immigration reform. But I think that's going to go nowhere. And I think he should know that. And his team should know
then
that.
Call a fucking and, like do a president like if you want to win the election.
Do a fucking thing.
Like, what is it? Like, you know, everybody tune in at 8 o'clock. We're going to interrupt the news. And you say, look, you know, the majority in the House is asking me, is trying to give me, the president, a forced dichotomy. I think you as citizens can understand what it's like to be given only two options where you know damn well there's three, four options, you know. And I refuse to buckle under that, especially when the ask is to do something that, in my opinion, is unconstitutional. I think that's executive overreach. I don't believe in government reaching out into people's lives that much, you know. And then you'll have the obligatory people ripping on that the next day because of the ways they overreach in other ways. But like, that's like, put it back on them. I mean, it should be easy.
I could not agree more.
They'd be better if there was competition, right? If it wasn't just Republicans.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Absolutely.
All right, I'm done.
So, I mean, we'll see. I think that is the no-nonsense, like, that just makes sense thing to do in this moment. And I think he has a lot of people around him who are pretty smart, pretty politically agile. So we'll see what comes from the White House. We'll see.
Okay. All right.
Moving on.
Biden.
President... Oh, it's you.
Sorry. It is me. I know I've been talking. I'm sorry. President Biden won the New Hampshire primary as a write-in candidate. This we described in our last show that whole why that was necessary for them.
Yeah.
Followed by Representative Dean, the candy man, the ice cream man, Phillips. Biden and Phillips won 53%. That doesn't make sense. And 20%. Oh, I got it. Okay. Why would they have to say the word respectively in this? They could have just said it in order. Biden won 53%. Phillips won 20%. And that was with 90. They called it with 93% tallied. I'm reading this headline for the first time. Sorry, I do that. Okay. A couple of sub headlines on things like that and memes that were going around the internet. The more MAGA accounts that I follow were like some of the bullshit they were spreading was Joe Biden is winning, but he's not winning by that much. And then if you look at this candidate, and it was called like unprocessed write-in ballots. Unprocessed write-in ballots is winning by like 40 points on Biden. And then he was like, his caption was something like, man, unprocessed write-in ballots must be a pretty good candidate. Biden must be scared. That man knew what he was saying when he did that, right?
Those are mostly Biden.
Yes. No. All. Who were, I mean, there was probably 15 or 16 write-in people, right.
Mickey Mouse or whatever.
Yes, all of those. Yeah, I actually have a list of that. I should try to find it. So there was a list of actual write-ins that people made, but Ted Snelson, Donald Duck, Mara, Justin Spencer, Ceasefire Biden, John Stewart, like Al Gore, Jesse the Body Ventura, Elizabeth Warren, Release Hamas Hostages.
What about that?
Keith Freedom Richards, Church Tulsi guy. Gabbard. He was in there, Alan. It was Alan. Who was it? Was it
Chink?
Uger.
Yeah, him. Chink.
All right, I got you. Yeah, so there were a bunch of, but like if I added, this is probably like 20 or so actual write-ins. It's 111 next to all of those. And then it was Booty Judge, RFK, Ceasefire Now, got 46 votes. Donald Trump got 177 as a write-in. That's pretty funny to do that on the funny Democratic write-in ballot.
That's funny.
Nikki Haley got 264, though. So of the morons, she got more of them. So these were Democrats that said, no, I wanted to be an independent and get the Republican ballot, and they got the Democratic one and wrote in Nikki Haley. That's happened 264 times. Those are dumb people. Like, that's only an accident, right? You're muted. I was like, I know that's funny. Here, I'll add some.
That is funny. I was laughing. Hold on. I got to change my
thing. Here, I got a drop of you laughing. I was up there from a long time ago. Okay, so my point is that I don't know what my point was.
Well, as of now, I'm just going to update.
Oh, wait. I know what my point was. I will not remember it again. I'm on the cusp of losing
it
again. So there was like 500 write-ins that weren't Joe Biden. All of the rest of them were. That guy was being a dick. And like, honestly, I don't think most people have the time to know that story. So that further spreads the Joe's not popular, blah, blah, blah. Mm. At the end of the day, he ended up getting what?
64%.
64. Wow.
As of now.
Yeah. Actually, that's really good. Wait. So that's of the Democrats that want to vote and independents that ask for a Democrat ballot, right?
Does
that
sound correct?
So when the same thing happened with Trump, he got 50 what percent?
51, I want to
say. No, that was Iowa.
Oh.
Maybe. But anyways, he didn't really win by that much.
I thought it was like 51 or 52 to 49
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, wow. That's kind of unexpected. That's Democrats, and those are Northeast Democrats. That could go either way, but I could also imagine a lot of those people being some of the free Hamas hostages crowd.
Sure. We have another story in other news further about Trump's win.
All right. Well, why don't you do the next headline? Which one do you think wins this?
Oh, okay. It's the New Hampshire Democratic
Party. All right, cool. All right.
Hunter Biden agreed to a closed door deposition on February 28th with the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees after initially defying a subpoena. So from what I understand, the reporting that I read on this is that there was back and forth between these House committees and Hunter Biden's legal team, wherein they cited their concerns that his words would be twisted, and they were given some promises that the full readout of the inquiry would be released almost immediately without any redactions.
Oh.
And so they said,
is
okay,
that a
fine
thing? People do that?
That's what they're saying. Okay. Now, right. I mean, I wouldn't trust Comer and Jordan to come through with that, but that's what they're saying. They received assurances that that's going to happen. And so, you know, he was facing, contempt of Congress for not responding to the initial subpoena. Now, that was going to get sent to the Justice Department, which is obviously controlled by the Biden administration at this point. And so unclear that that would have actually been prosecuted, but he didn't want to deal with all that smoke, I guess. And so they came to some sort of agreement, and he is finally going to testify. They also said that post this testimony that potentially they would allow an open door, to the public deposition as well. I thought that was interesting. This story, I mean, if the Republicans keep trying to pin something on Biden, they are losing their majority in the House. It shrinks, seems like, every day. This impeachment inquiry is going nowhere. They're trying to find something that sticks.
If they lose the House at the next election, does Trump get impeached the next day?
Oh, probably.
Because, yes. Oh my God, wait. Oh shit. This would be a slick play by the Democrats.
What's that?
If they can keep the Senate and win the House, which I don't expect, I think they'll flop or flip flop or switch. Mm. Flip. That was the word. day one.
They take the presidential election on purpose and impeach
him. Yeah, just to impeach him and be like, we got you, motherfucker. Like, all of the shit from before. Here, like, I mean, you could just, like, it's a grab bag of what
the problem is to impeach, to actually, you know, convict in the Senate, you need more.
Oh, not just 51. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rule real quick then.
Oh, there you go.
They should do that rule. They should change that rule to get Biden out, right? Oh my God, I got a master plan, but it'll never work. Democrats should get that rule changed so that they can impeach Biden, put Kamala in. She gets, she loses, right? Trump wins. They keep that rule, win the Senate and the House, and impeach Joe, Donald Trump with a 51.
I mean, I like where your head's at. I don't think that.
No, Democrats don't know how to use tools as good as Republicans do. If it was all of that was reversed, you'd know in a heartbeat Republicans would do that.
I think they would. That requires the constitutional amendment, though, doesn't it? It's not like just a Senate rule.
Yes, that's why I say Democrats play ball.
I see.
Like everyone agrees because they want to, like, oh my God. That's like letting the team score so you can get back on the field.
Yeah, you're all right. Pretty much. All right, you want to hit the next one?
Sure. Where is it? This one, Judge?
Yeah.
A judge ordered a hearing on the day after Valentine's Day to address misconduct against Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis.
Fannie.
In Trump's Georgia case.
Your Australian relatives are going to be very upset that you pronounced that incorrectly.
Oh, that lady, Fannie Schmeller. I was like, where did I hear this recently? Oh, yeah, 2 days ago. So Fannie Willis, we talked about this, I think.
Yes.
Was it on the big show or was it last week? I think it was last Friday.
We definitely talked about it.
So, there are only allegations that she has a relationship with one of the prosecutors.
The lead prosecutor.
And that person is alleged to... Now, we are moving on. Put a finger in the first thing I said.
Don't put a finger in anything, man. You have to ask permission first.
Put a dog ear on the first thing I said. I'm going to try to ignore what Alan said. Alan, I'm not going to... No.
Gawk.
Tell the patient you are going to insert your finger into his rectum and that it will be cool. Gonorrhea on
Valentine's Day. So on the day after Valentine's Day, they are going to address, we're putting a finger in the first thing, which is this is all allegations. There has been no proof, but the argument for no proof is our proof is tied up in the divorce the person we're accusing her of having the relationship with that the guy's going through that is probably about his relationship with her. So when that scandal all goes public is kind of when... is when Fannie had agreed to talk about it, but a judge is going to have a date on the 15th. I think that will be post the divorce hearings, at least
perhaps post the release of those documents.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah. At least internally. I don't know.
Yeah. And as I mentioned previously on the show, Fannie's speech at the historically black church that she attended a couple weeks ago, certainly there was some, I don't know, just my reading of it, there's some sense that there may be some fire underneath the smoke.
So. Oh, yeah. All of her language seems to imply like, hey, I'm not perfect. Yeah. It's, you know.
Now, I mean, here's the thing. The fact that happened, while that is a, you know, perhaps a breach of trust of the public and perhaps illegal and perhaps other things, that doesn't change the facts of this case at all.
Well, and he was a private lawyer at the time.
Correct.
And he took this case... Well, with not a lot of experience?
Not a lot of experience.
Okay. So wouldn't you... Okay. All right. Okay. Because I was going to say, I mean, I would imagine you get paid more there than even the... I heard that it was how much an hour? Like $200 an hour he was billing? Which as
the number I read was $700,000. Right. Like $680 over the course of 3 years.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good chunk of change.
It is, but when you break it down to the hourly, it's not like a holy shit lawyer. Yeah. Lawyer
for a lawyer, that's about
right. It's a lot of hours, which accumulated to that.
Sure.
And you can say, like, you know, she gave the job to, you know, her sweetheart, you know, that
sure.
It's totally plausible. Yeah. At the end
again, in my opinion, it doesn't impact the facts of this case. However, obviously in the public and in the, you know, the way the right wing will spin that is that, you know,
it will be hilarious when Donald Trump, you know, the
tries to take a moral
man of impeccable character. Impeccable character is the one that gets to the guy who has
I behave so well.
That guy. He's going to be the one that takes someone down and gets away with all of his bullshit because of calling them out on a little tryst.
Extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think is the larger story here? And don't think about Hunter Biden's dick when you make that decision. I know. It's hard.
I think I don't care about Hunter Biden, honestly, like at all.
Yeah.
The
I think the Fonnie Willis thing is very interesting.
Yeah, because the thing that, because if old Donnie Trumpies gets back into the president, all the other ones can be kicked out. What's he called? Immunity'd. But not the Georgia one. You know, if they get the whole immunity thing, it's just like all of, like the next day, all of this stuff is gone, huh?
Yeah.
It's so hard to imagine.
So that podcast I told you, the Sam Harris recent podcast.
Yeah.
I
did find like three clips from it.
Okay. So there's
well, listeners, we're going to play clips from what he's talking about on the Wednesday show next week.
There's a clip later in that episode where he goes into what he believes would be the strategy that Trump would employ if he were to gain the presidency in 2024. And I guess I had held some of these things in my mind. We had talked about some of these things on the show previously, but the way he tied it all together was just the way that Trump would be able to take advantage of his willingness to just fuck all the guardrails. Really kind of blew my mind. I was like, holy
Did you send
shit.
Me the clip or no?
I'm not sure. I will
find that and clip it for me because I don't have the full episode on my feed. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will send it.
Yeah. I mean, if not, can you describe it a little? I mean,
yeah, I can. So essentially, what he says is, all right, so day one, Trump goes in.
Juan.
He eliminates the
Hamas. Eliminate Hamas.
No. The federal employees would be under his would serve at
he
his
he would
pleasure.
Get rid of the Tenure of Office Act.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
literally what got Andrew Johnson impeached. God damn
okay.
it.
So he does that. Then he sacks all the people that aren't his loyalists, replaces them with all people who are his loyalists.
Hired by the Heritage Foundation, by people that signed up at Trump rallies correct. At the Iowa State Fair.
Correct. Then he puts people in place.
We should
in
sign
power.
Up for that. It's an application.
Totally.
Okay, sorry. Then he would
then he puts people in power in places like the Department of Justice, the FBI, because he can point all those people. Now, they don't have to be confirmed by the Senate. They can just be acting for some time.
Oh, right.
And he's done that before. He did that.
That's how like most of his presidency, because there was so much turnover.
Yeah. So then at some point, the Supreme Court does something he doesn't like, whether they say, look, you can't have these people enacting rules for this long. You have to send them up to the Hill for confirmation.
But that means a lot of time goes by.
Right. Or kick them out or something else. And he just defies the order.
Uh-huh.
So he says, nope. And he goes to, you know, the FBI, the Department of Justice, whatever, and is like, hey, you guys that are all my loyalists that I installed, just keep working for this guy. He's the guy in charge. Just keep doing what you're doing. And if there is federal repercussions for you doing that, if somebody tries to sue or whatever, you. I'll pardon you. So then what happens? The Supreme Court
also, oh no, never mind.
The Supreme Court is essentially being ignored by the president. They got egg on their
wait
face,
hold on
right?
Actually, that was Andrew Johnson had the most pardons in presidential history, and was
that
for
is not surprising,
right?
Yeah. All right, so then the Supreme Court's like, fuck, we look like assholes because we said you can't do that, and he said fuck you, I'm gonna do it anyways. So at some point the Supreme Court backs down because
they don't have any
they're
authority.
Losing right they're losing face.
Well, they also don't have any like everybody so does what they say, but they don't have like
there's no power to enforce yeah. So at this point he's installed loyalists in every position in the military, in the Department of Justice, you know, in the Fed, whatever. So he has all the keys to power with no checks, essentially.
But that's like that's literally the plan in like on tyranny and like just the understanding
correct.
Of authoritarian.
Like I said, we've talked about some of this
well
stuff before,
it's like when in 2017 when I was saying this, people would call me Trump derangement syndrome. And it was, and I would say, look, no, like this is literally the pattern. It's you undermine, like, so in the past, you would literally blow up the Reichstag. Okay. Well, we won't blow up the legislature. It's 2020. Yeah. So you just make it, you completely undermine the institution. I mean, it's kind of worked at the Supreme Court, right? I mean, aren't they, they're looking into this inappropriate relationship and like kickbacks that they get from, you know, hiring practices and things like that.
Thomas's RV.
I was talking about Fonnie Willis.
Oh, oops. Right.
No, it's okay. I like that your mind went there. That's what I was connecting it to. Like,
right.
Like
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just it was it hit me pretty hard. I was like, oh shit. Okay, I can really see
that. That is the move. You get rid of and at the time people say like, what, you want to protect these people? Oh, you want to stand up for that? Those are all deep state. We need to get rid of them. Replace them with real Americans, people that care about this country. It's like you don't understand the play that's being made here. Like it's today, it's that so that tomorrow it can be this, so that in the future, when you do something, the big move, the thing you're supposed to be held accountable for, there's no one to hold you accountable for it. Like it's, I just hate all the ridicule that I had to live through. Like,
I should give credit to that guest. His name was Jonathan Rauch.
Yes. He wrote, what was his book? Strange and Kind Inquisitors.
Kind Inquisitors, yeah. His most recent book is The Constitution of Knowledge. That's what he was talking about on this show. I'm about an hour into it. It's pretty good.
Oh, the book's out already?
Yeah, it's out.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll listen to that too. Yeah, it was a good podcast. We'll have more to say about this on the I didn't know that they got into that subject. The first half of the show was just about...
They did get into that. Yeah,
they went pretty deep. Was the first half about epistemology, Alan? Damn it. I like that word.
It's the how do we know what we know?
Okay. That's not what they were.
Yeah, there's ontology and epistemology. There's two separate
ontology things. is where House's friend worked at the hospital.
That's oncology.
Oh, all right.
Close, but no cigar.
All right, Watson. That's when I realized the House was Holmes for Sherlock Holmes because his best friend is Watson.
God. All right, let's get into econ, shall we?
Sure, shall we?
Microsoft market capitalization briefly surpassed $3 trillion for the first time yesterday, becoming the second company to hit the milestone after Apple. So their stock temporarily rose to 404 something a share.
404? Shares not found?
HTTP not found, yeah. They did eclipse Apple for a while. I think they ended up closing at 401, so they fell below that. Morgan Stanley changed their price target to $450 a share. And so if that were to happen,
Morgan Stanley changed their price target.
So they're predicting that in the next 6 to 12 months, it would be valued at $450.
That fast?
Yeah. So if that were to happen, obviously they would be the highest valuation.
Is this all because of OpenAI?
It is.
Man. They better not.
Like
zoom.
It really actually literally, that's what the article says. It's like Morgan Stanley's like, yeah, their potential with AI is massive and we only see upside here.
They better not zoom that shit. They're going to zoom that shit, man.
I mean, after Zoom, they have a relatively decent track record of not zooming again, I would say. There were a couple Windows misfires for sure.
Is that Surface tablet? You're right. I see so many people using a Surface tablet.
A Surface. Yeah, there's
the exclusive tablet of the NFL, because why iPads?
I mean, Google Glass was a bit of a flop also.
But that's not them. That's Googies.
I know. What I'm saying is these tech companies, they try things that don't.
You know what, though? Google Glass didn't, to me, it seemed like, you know, this isn't necessarily the future, but the data you're going to get from taking an expenditure like that is valuable instead of just trying to make a knockoff iPod. Like,
yeah, and I think augmented reality from that has been pretty successful.
Look, here's where it's going to be ubiquitous. When you get in a contact lens and you put it next to your phone and charge it overnight and you put that in the morning, that's when it will be everywhere.
No.
And
there will be
incremental steps to get to that are, and Google Glass was the first one. Okay.
It'll be ubiquitous when you can watch porn on it and it'll be, you know, that's for sure.
You can do that now. And it's easy, right? It's not weird.
All right. You want to hit this next one? Bidenomics, man. Bidenomics, baby.
The U.S. economy grew 3.3% annualized rate in Q4. Does that mean they doctored the number, or is that the way they always present it?
That's the way they always present it.
So 3.3% growth in Q4. significantly above expectations of 2%. For the full year 2023, the real GDP grew 2.5%.
So, I mean, essentially, these numbers are what we have now. These obviously can
always be... Those are like pre-pandemic numbers, aren't they?
They're pretty good, yeah. These can always be revised up or down in the future, which is annoying. This was driven primarily by consumer spending.
We never got to do that as retail managers. Like, hey, here's our Monday night. Here's our Monday morning numbers. We're ready for the meeting. And then like halfway through the week, revise them and get credit.
Right. So primarily driven by consumer spending. However,
you don't have high consumer spending if people don't have confidence in the market, and people don't have confidence in the, you know what? We're like that Reagan quote. They're like, no, you can say we don't have money and that we can't buy anything, but we're going to do it.
I mean, so the good thing about this headline is that consumer spending is growing while inflation seems to be holding relatively steady, which typically that's hard to separate those two. So people are
treating themselves.
Nope, sorry.
We execute the baby.
That's how you separate the two.
This is from the fourth quarter, so this is holiday spending, et cetera. This kind of spending can't last forever because people's savings accounts just won't bear the brunt of that. But for the moment, it is
a
good indicator.
Have savings accounts?
Wait, you guys have savings accounts?
I mean, still.
Yeah. So what was I going to say?
People have, you don't think people, they can bear the brunt of it.
They can't bear the brunt of it forever. However, this, As a economic indicator, this is certainly positive, and pretty good for the people touting Bidenomics. I mean, this is probably the best economic news we've had in this cycle since pre-pandemic. So all good news. We'll see where.
How would you describe my face?
Not confident.
What does it look like? Like what just happened?
Transitory.
Does it look like I just smelled a fart?
I just smelled a fart.
I don't smell a fart, but that's how I feel about that news. It's like that. I know those are all good words, but like it just like are we sure we're measuring this shit right? Because it can't just be that I'm being brainwashed by the right wing media telling me everything's bad. Like I used to be able to like save and buy things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and
I mean, and oh, okay. Yes. And good point, Alan. Fine. All right. If you don't have any thoughts on it, we can put a tournament.
No, I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
No, I used to be able to save and buy things. Like,
and now it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things are good.
There is
and
still...
spending's up. I bet credit card debt's at record highs or near.
And that's not listed in this article. However, as I said, this type of consumer spending isn't sustainable without other stimulus, and that typically would lead to inflation. So whether this is a blip because of Q4 or whatever, but we've had good jobs numbers, we've had good, relatively good inflation numbers, and now good GDP growth numbers. I mean,
are you saying I should just feel like it's a good economy?
So, I mean, I think the Times had a daily episode about this very topic, and I don't know that I'm going to do a better job of answering that question than they did. I agree that for a lot of us, our spending power seems diminished and in real time is diminished. I mean, you've talked about that. I would agree completely. Like, I don't eat steak a lot anymore. I'm not paying $20 a pound for that.
Dude,
shit.
Dude, eggs were like $7. And I was like, hold on. Yeah. We didn't just have a bird flu. So what's the excuse this
that?
Time?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, though, is if you look at the input side of the economy, the PPI, that hasn't gone up as fast as the other side, the CPI, the inflation side. So companies are taking in record profits because they're taking advantage.
Well, they should be lowering prices.
They're not. Because they're taking advantage.
Okay, what avenue is there to address that? Because boycotts don't work. Complaining about it doesn't work.
Congress well, obviously, it's voting with your wallet. I would say, I mean, if nobody buys the steaks, then what's going to happen?
Yeah, farmers go out of business. I'll just say that the average age of a rancher is 65.
Oh, I did not know
that's not a good metric.
That's not good. That's not a good number. Yeah. That is not a good number. Yeah. All right, tournament wise, I think the GDP is a bigger deal.
Okay. GDP.
Do we want to do the full-on?
I have five. We need one less or three more. Let's cancel out GDP from this. Houthis or Netanyahu? I think Netanyahu being out of power could. The whole reason I was asking about his coalition and everything like that was to say, is there a chance that somebody who's less bellicose... See, the problem is people are mad at him, but they don't necessarily want there to not be an aggressive stance towards Gaza. And
Palestine. Oh, no. And essentially, he's a wartime prime minister. I mean, he's always going to get a bump from that.
I think if he loses his position, that has all the impact on the Houthis and everything else.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Okay. I got Sweden or Fanny Willis.
I mean, Sweden's a bigger deal. Obviously.
Okay. Yeah. So you got Netanyahu or Sweden?
Netanyahu.
Okay. Netanyahu wins the news. But wait, we've got other news. Alan, what else you got?
Some more news. Somebody else does that. Before we do this.
They already stole our intro.
Doing show.
They say they're the internet's only news show. They do.
I think they existed prior to us, but I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know.
I think they were doing cracked back then. They're not. I don't think they're that old.
All right. I have a proposition.
I didn't steal it from them, Alan. I stole it from a sports podcast.
I'm aware.
Okay. I mean, I made it up myself. What?
Okay. So going forward, I think I still structure the sheet as if there were a tournament, but we don't do a tournament after every two headlines or a final tournament. Okay. Instead, we bring a headline to the show from the prior week that we think is the largest headline, and we each of us tell the other what that is.
Oh, that's okay.
I think that makes more sense.
What does that mean? So at the end of this show, I say my favorite headline, and then I bring that in?
I would say, hey, I think the biggest headline of the last week is X, and then you say yours. And
we give it a week?
Yeah. We reveal them to each other on the show. Like, you don't know mine, I don't know yours. And yeah, we give it a week. Yes.
And then next week, I say what I think was the biggest news from last week.
Yeah.
You know what? I like this because I think that the winner of Best Picture is always so bad, and they should actually do the Best Picture like 5 years later.
Oh, I see. So you can actually tell the impact.
Yeah, because like 5 years later, it's a part of like our culture, and we're like, man, movie really meant something, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything Everywhere was really good, and I think it would be one that would have won anyways, but...
Yeah, some movies, quote-unquote, cult classics, you know, they're not, perhaps don't do as well at the box office, but, you know, a year or two later, everybody's
Or they came out in, like, April instead of right before Oscar season or, you know, yeah. Sure. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, I still don't really know what you mean.
I will still structure the sheet this way because I think it makes the sheet better, but we'll just do it that way instead. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Okay. You're going to have to remind me before next week to go back and look.
For sure.
All right, what do you got?
All right. Other news. So first one is actually behind a paywall that I don't have access to. This is from Bloomberg. The headline is Putin sends U.S. signal on Ukraine talks, sensing advantage in war. So essentially what they're hinting at is that Putin is willing to come to the table and negotiate some terms here.
I saw other headlines that said Putin is seeking to indicate that he's willing to negotiate.
We've seen headlines like this.
Did you hear what I just said?
I did.
What does seeking to indicate that you're willing mean?
It's all over the place. I agree. It's a nuance of a nuance. We've had headlines like this for the last, I would say, month and a half, where there people are saying that he's indicating that he's willing to come to the table in back channel, conversations, not publicly. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how we can't really validate or verify that that's accurate. And as you said, the way they structured that headline is like, what does that even mean? So
especially with him, right?
Yeah,
like if he wants to do something, he does it. Like what are you talking about? Putin watchers? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
And always remember this guy's KGB and you can't trust him at all.
Yeah.
Even a little bit.
But speaking of people you don't need to trust, Trump should make a backdoor deal with him to keep the war going. Pull a Reagan, you know, with Iran. Remember how Reagan negotiated the deal with the hostages, but didn't? No. The flight was delayed to take off until how did that work? I know that Jimmy Carter, the night of the election, was like, or up to the last day in office, was trying to get the hostages released. And they wouldn't answer the phone because they had a standing deal with Reagan to do it the next day so that Reagan could get credit, because they thought they had a better chance maybe with the next rich.
I vaguely remember this. Yeah.
Anyways, Trump should do that. Trump should be like, don't let, because he could keep the war going. It would tank Biden's chances.
I have a question for you. If he did do that and it came out publicly, there was some journalist at the Washington Post that broke the story that he actually did do that. What do you think would happen?
I mean, I think he should be impeached for that. But that's traitorous. I mean, all those people died because of it. Yes. I think that would be enough for Republicans to. I shouldn't, but yes. I think that without changing the rules the way I described earlier, I think that still would clear the Senate. Yeah.
That's an impeachable offense. I mean, I like your optimism there. I'm not sure I share it. But
I have a clip to open next week's show with I like your optimism.
Okay. All right. This next story, this is from Foreign Policy Magazine, which is a outlet that I follow. I actually listen to a lot of their podcasts. The headline here is Turkey's new maps are reclaiming the Ottoman Empire. So
it has like parts of Iraq and all of Syria. Like,
parts of Greece.
Yeah. Well.
So they're essentially like making these maps and throwing them out there. They're saying that Mosul in Iraq was traditionally a Turkish city, and they want
all the Kurds. They're like, I heard this is where the Kurds are. We're going to. Yeah.
Their favorite people on the planet. So this really doesn't mean anything at the moment, other than they're throwing out this sort of bellicose rhetoric. But it's interesting.
Normal places don't do this.
And when you start messing around with maps, there's a lot of knock on things that happen.
Look at China. Everything that's going on in the Philippines, Strait of Taiwan, South China Sea. I mean, that's all because they're like, well, I know we all agreed, like with the UN, including us, that these are the borders, but we changed our maps and we like this map.
We
printed them. There's a lot of people here. I can't go get those maps back. Maps. Yeah, it's like guns in America. You can't make them go away. It's a map.
It's actually interesting if you look at old maps, like maps of antiquity, and as they progress through time and history, to see what political powers and regimes did through the use of the power of a map to change the actual landscape on the ground. This has been happening for thousands of years. So not a new tactic.
Yeah, it's not, except some of us grew up China.
Sure.
No, you know what? Sorry. Some of us grew up CCP. See, that's the thing. It's, you know, ancient culture, blah, 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 and ran by, you know, a bunch of fucking.
All right, let's move on. Okay. This headline is from The Hill. Senate GOP fears drop in Trump enthusiasm, energy. I have a couple of bullet points I pulled from this article.
Okay.
Only 15% of Iowa's registered Republicans showed up for Monday's caucuses. So the turnout was 110,000 people voted in those caucuses.
So the postmortem kind of took a while. These are things from Iowa. Okay.
Right. When Trump won in Iowa in 16, there was 188,000 people that showed up. So,
and it's always cold there. People made a big deal about how cold it was. Yeah. It's fucking January in Iowa.
It's January in Iowa. This is what you get. So definitely, just based on the turnout, you could say less enthusiasm. A CNN entrance poll for the Iowa GOP caucuses found that 31% of participants said Trump would not be fit for the presidency if convicted of a crime. I found that extraordinarily surprising because, as he has said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and my supporters would still back me. And so far, what we've seen from that base is that he seems to be right about that.
So 10% polled is not the way I would say 90% said that they would, or some other answer.
So here's the thing. 31% said that they would not find him fit for presidency. Those were total Republican voters. Remember, about half voted for Haley. So 10% who actually voted for him,
Trump,
said the same thing.
You know what? I can dismiss all of this by saying this is a small data pool because not a lot of people showed up.
It is. However, you have to imagine that the people that did show up are the most Republicans of the lot. So perhaps that means more than the size of the data pool would suggest.
Okay. All right. I had some other thoughts about New Hampshire also. So if you think about with New Hampshire, New Hampshire, Rub My Tummy dropped out. Yeah, I know. Rub My Tummy dropped out. Yeah. Chris Christie's, Rhonda, and anybody else? I think Asa Hutchinson, as if he was getting more than 200.
Asa dropped out a while ago. I think.
So obviously, like Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis, they didn't do anything to collaborate with Trump for this. But I would not put it past Rub My Tummy, Rhymes With Cake, that he dropped out. Oh, Tim Scott also dropped out.
Right.
So, you know, many of those votes would have gone towards Nikki Haley. And for this race to have closed as close as it was, her within 10 points, that... I still don't know that she would have won, but like that's a part of the math there, man. Like those.
So you're saying that,
like, do you remember how Joe Biden got his election saved with the Super Tuesday and how everybody in the Democrats colluded to drop out and back Joe Biden? I'm saying without as much collusion, Trump got that same benefit and possibly some collusion with Vivek. They cut that guy a check, right? Like if Bagman were offering Carrie Lake money, did you see that video of Carrie Lake saying that a Republican operative was trying to pay her to get out of the, oh, she has an audio recording. Carrie Lake, she's a former TV news host, local TV in Phoenix. She ran for governor in Arizona and lost, but she said that there were mules. And she's running for Senate, and the state GOP head, she has a recording of him saying, you know, I'm not going to say there's money. I'm just saying there's people back east that would like to see what they could do to help you change your mind to not run. And it's just the worst Bagman like interaction ever. And so, like, first of all, she happens to like answer the door wearing a wire. Like, I'm sure it's her phone, but whatever. So that was a big scandal this last week that blew up. I don't have it in the show. I don't plan to put it on the show because it happened in March, like last March. So this happened.
Did not catch that video.
This happened like 9 months ago. Maybe it was May. Happened like 9 months ago. She released it now. You know why she released it now? Because they're having their state Republican conference this week. So they're trying to ambush him and get him kicked out, which fine. But this is going to get spread amongst the culture wars as now it doesn't get spread that it was him. It gets spread that she has a recording of her getting bribed, right? And it's like why'd I even start down that path? I bet Vivek got paid. Anyways, New Hampshire had a lot of people that didn't want to vote for Trump. It had a lot of people clearly that did vote for Trump, but I think that in a normal primary, I almost said caucus, in a normal primary, it wouldn't be a two-person race. It would have been Trump's diluted with other candidates.
So you're saying that if those candidates had remained in the race, that there would have been, they could have played spoilers.
Yeah.
For
yeah, I do think so. And I mean, that's why a lot of them dropped out, because they said we need to coalesce and back Trump.
That's definitely, I think, what a large part of the RNC was suggesting.
I'm really struggling to remember the data. There was a thing that Slickett shared that was talking about how New Hampshire is a real mixed bag of like deeper insight of what happened, because in some ways, so like it wasn't in the article, but one thing that I always try to remember come primary season is Iowa is the like emotional, not emotional. What do they call it? They're like the culture war vote, that primary, that caucus. You could see it as like these are what the culture war heat is. There's another word for it I'm just blanking on. And then New Hampshire is more of like what a general election would really look like. And when you take the first one and find out where people's passions are, and the second one that kind of gives you an idea of who would really win, and by the time you normally go through Iowa and New Hampshire, you actually have an idea of how the race will go. We don't have that because both parties fucked around. Like, it would have been helpful for there to be three people in the New Hampshire race, four people, right? And it's kind of weird that they all dropped out then instead of just going through one. They spent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to get there and then dropped out instead of what? Just losing? I fucked up in our last conversation. DeSantis doesn't, he's term limits. This is it for him. So he didn't have to go keep that seat. He could lose that primary and then, you know, a couple years, 3 years from now, be a run for Senate from Florida. Like, it's, I don't know. Something's fishy about the way all those people dropped out. I did have some things that I didn't want to forget to bring up about vice presidential picks, because we never know when Trump's going to drop that, right?
Sure.
So I had my whole theory about how he only wants to pick people that match the number of syllables on a campaign sticker. And I don't really put a lot of weight in that, but I do kind of keep using that as a filter whenever I think someone would be a good vote. Carrie Lake would be a good Trump pick. I could see Trump picking Carrie Lake as his VP.
She's definitely essentially sworn fealty to him already, so I could certainly see that as well.
But the problem is he needs to pick someone, because people say Herman Cain. They think that, but that's like the consensus that's who he's picked. And he's 72, so he's super old. He doesn't bring in any votes other than he's a reasonable person, right? Carrie Lake doesn't bring in any votes. She's the same as him. And he wouldn't want... So here's the other thing you got to remember. He doesn't want to put somebody like Vivek or Carrie on his ticket because he doesn't want someone to steal the MAGA movement from him. Otherwise, he could have just backed Rhonda and let Ron run with it and have his next generation of it, right?
Yeah, but Rhonda failed so badly.
If he was smart... Go ahead.
I've been kind of saying that, you know, on the show previously, is that I'm afraid he doesn't want anybody on the ticket with him that would steal his thunder.
Right.
You made the point last episode that it doesn't matter because he just likes to use people and that's what he's going to do.
Hang Mike Pence.
Yeah, I think Herman Cain, I don't see that at all. That makes no sense to me. That guy, are you kidding? That guy brings nothing to the fucking table.
Wait, Herman Cain, did he die?
Talk about Sleepy Joe.
Wait, no. I'm so sorry. I'm being racist. Carlson? Carson? Ben Carson.
Oh, Ben Carson. Also,
yeah, Herman Cain died. He killed Herman Cain.
I was going to say, literally, he brings nothing to the table because he's dead. No, Ben Carson, not much better. I don't
I was going to call you racist, and then I was it. Damn it.
Ben Carson.
You think,
no.
I mean, everything that you said before doesn't change with Ben Carson?
No. He was in charge of HUD, right?
That was super racist. They're like, look at this doctor. We want to get him in this. Well, he's black. Maybe we could have him do housing and urban development. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
No, I don't think he brings anything.
Okay. All right. Well, I believe that's what the like reasonable people think.
Consensus.
Yeah, but that, like, yeah. Dude, if he didn't already burn his bridges so that he could campaign in the manner that he's campaigning, he should have found a way to bring Nikki Haley in. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's typically what happens when it gets down to this point in a race is, you know,
whatever he does, he wants to make a splash. And I just don't think,
Carson, I know. I'm just saying, if you think about electability, Trump, sure. I alienates voters, and Nikki somehow is like sort of bringing conservatives somewhat together, at least the independents. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have the benefit of it being either a woman or a minority, whichever box you want to check with darling Nikki. And she's no threat. Like you said, she's not going to steal the MAGA movement. You know why she's a threat though? If any of these, it's going to be Dean Cain or whoever I said it's going to be, because Carlson. It's going to be Carlson, because if it's anybody that people are excited about, even if it's not just going to take his MAGA movement, he doesn't want people to think like, see, here's the thing. What do we keep saying about Biden? He's not going to make it through the next term, and nobody wants Kamala to be there. So in a sense, that's kind of a liability. He doesn't want to do the same thing. Carlson is sort of like a safe bet. Nobody's going to care. They won't hate that he's the vice president, but they're not going to be like, yeah, let's vote for him so that we can get him. Like, he doesn't want Nikki. Nikki is competition. They'll try to get him impeached so that Nikki can be the president, right? If anything, the Democrats will try to encourage Nikki to be the vice president so that they can impeach him and have someone they like, because she's neocon or whatever.
They would prefer, yeah.
Yeah. He's neocon.
Interesting.
Or liberal.
Interesting together. Speculation.
Yeah. All right.
We have many months to go. We'll see. Well, we'll find out.
They'll announce it at some point. All right.
One more headline here. Issues surrounding coronavirus studies showing 100% lethality in humans. This is from the Atlas News.
Yeah.
I'll try to summarize this story.
This shouldn't have been our last story, because I feel like when this headline went across all our screens, we're like, fuck, and a huge reaction to that. And then Alan last week was like, yeah, they sequenced it. It went away from like the database and it came back with like the state approval, basically. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now there's sort of more insight and follow up on this Atlas News piece. And I don't know. I don't understand. And this is typical, like, disinformation sort of like make it confusing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot here. All right. So first of all, this isn't really about COVID-19. It's a SARS-CoV-2, which is from pangolins. It's a pangolin virus. We know that. they have altered it and they inserted it into mice who are also altered to have a more human-like immune system. They put this injected them with this virus, this modified SARS-CoV-2 virus, and over the course of some period of time, the mortality rate was 100% in these mice that were genetically modified to have more human-like immune systems. So there's a lot here, right? So first of all, the idea that any coronavirus would have 100% mortality rate is scary to think about. They're saying that the reason it had this 100% mortality rate is because it attacked brain tissue, that caused a late-stage brain infection.
Jesus.
And they dissected some of these mice mid-study, and they found that initially it just was in like the lungs and maybe the kidneys, the liver.
So late-stage it gets to the brain?
Late-stage it gets to the brain, okay. And it just saturates.
It's a respiratory virus.
Right. But it saturates the brain and it shrinks your
gray matter.
The neurons.
Oh.
The neurons. And so they believe that
amygdala.
They believe that that's what led to the mortality rate.
Okay.
So a couple of things to zoom out with here. First of all, this is a Chinese study. It has not been replicated by any other laboratories.
Saying cheap quality, right? Yeah, you can buy it on Temu.
There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot to, yeah. So all the scientists, I believe it was 8 who were involved with this study, put their name to it. They come from various universities. Also, well, I'll get to that later. None of these scientists who put their name on this paper have a bio on their said university or affiliated organization.
What would that mean?
Website.
What's that imply?
Well, normally, if you work for the University of Tennessee as a scientist and you're going to publish like studies, there's going to be a bio.
Yeah, but this ain't Tennessee. This is communist China, Alan.
It's a red flag.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
There's lots of red flags.
So they're spies.
Second red flag. The CCP has
it's a big red flag with a stars in it. Sorry.
They have essentially instituted a rule. Not essentially. They have instituted a rule whereby no scientist can publish anything related, any sort of research related to coronavirus without the approval of the PLA. In fact, members of the PLA were part of this study.
That's
the People's Liberation Army. Yes. So they control the information space in this narrative. Red flag number 2. Okay.
I'll save it.
The Chinese government has an incentive to prove or make the world believe that COVID-19 was a transfer from animal to humans, right? That it was a pangolin or something like that. That's where the virus came from, as opposed to being a man-made virus, lab leak, whatever. They have an incentive to do that. They have control of the entire scientific apparatus in this country and what they can, research they can release. None of these scientists having a bio on the websites. There's so many red flags. This hasn't been replicated by any other laboratory.
What does not replicated mean? Like people have tried to, or like they're the only people that tried to do this?
Nobody's tried to do it.
Okay, well, that just means they're the only fucking crazy people trying to do it.
It hasn't happened. Now, that's
transitive inflation. That doesn't mean you're dismissing that way too easily. Like,
okay.
All right.
I mean, I'm just saying there's so many red flags here. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I don't mean to break your momentum.
The last thing is that obviously it's scary to think of a coronavirus that has a 100% mortality rate. And if that is true, if all those red flags are just, you know, they're not really an issue and this research is accurate, the fact that they're doing gain of function research on a coronavirus that led to a virus that has 100% mortality rate is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
So I want to balance that, but there's just, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this story.
Right? Well, I mean, cause there's, you know, there's people that say like China knows about their demographic problem and they released a virus.
They're engineering a virus to do
that was trying to take out their olds, right? Because that's who died from COVID was their olds, right? So, and now they're like, I mean,
I think
so,
that's a
wait,
pretty fringe.
Okay, so like, let's address that that's fringe, and then let's go backwards through the things that you've said already. The Army is approving the release of the information. Mm-hmm. So the Army, the warfare department, right? Mm-hmm. So biological warfare exists. It's a thing. And the country that may have speculated the thing I just said now is like, and just so you all know, we can release one that'll kill everyone. That's another way to see that. That's a Pentagon way to see that.
As a threat. Yeah. Let me just quote this from the article real quick. So the order prohibited universities, medical institutes, or businesses from publishing any data or research related to COVID-19 and was more stringent than previous orders released by the government. The order gave significant power to the propaganda and public opinion teams to influence and guide the research paper's contents to eliminate anything that would go against the official narrative. The information would exclude any indication or hint that COVID-19 came from Wuhan's Institute of Virology or that it had a man-made origin. The teams would change the information to reflect China's narrative that COVID-19 originated through the illegal trade of penguins. I'm just saying they have a lot of incentives here to maintain this narrative, and there's so many red flags in this study. So, yeah. I mean, I agree.
Yeah, it's, no, it's, nothing you're saying is counter to what I'm saying. You're saying, right? Like, yeah. You know who wrote that?
Don't say their name?
Yeah. That's your boy, man. That's Sinotalk.
Sinotalk wrote that?
Yeah, that's his government name. Or is that his nom de plume? Yeah.
I did not know.
I knew the whole time. I was like, I saw you like, I think I clicked this over and then you made notes. I was like, oh shit, Alan likes this. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, I can't wait.
I thought it was a very interesting article.
I was like, I can't wait to tell him this part. That's my favorite part.
That's dope, actually.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's really cool.
All right.
Dude, I kind of want to talk to him about it now.
Yeah, well, we'll have him back on. He said he can come back on soon, so we'll do it.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, I seem to have put a just asking question here. I don't mean to do that. What have you been watching this week?
Oh man, you know, I haven't watched a lot. I remember I talked about Destiny on Alex Jones' show.
Yeah, and then he did a Lex
Freeman.
Yeah,
versus Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, and it's like 6 hours long, right? No, that was the episode before.
No, it's not that long. Okay. I didn't finish it, but I'm interested so far. Mm-hmm. I was actually talking to Drew about it today. And I was like, do you know who this Destiny guy is? And he's like, that sounds familiar. I was like, well, I know he was a streamer. Like, he played video games, like, on Twitch or whatever. And he liked to be – he was funny. He liked to troll people. He had some political commentary while he was playing games. And then now he switched to being entirely political. And then Drew was like, dude, I used to watch that guy, like, 10 years ago. He played StarCraft 2 online.
Do a barrel roll.
I used to watch him all the time. He was really funny. He's like, I can't believe he switched to politics. So that just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's weird how he's kind of blowing up right now. Is getting involved in all these
crossing streams there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard him described as a liberal debater on my right wing podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, it was anti-war called him that.
I thought he held his own pretty well against Shapiro, at least the first part I saw.
That's impressive because, like, rhetorically wise,
Shapiro's pretty good,
top notch. I mean, you know, you know, in
I mean, even Sam Harris and him,
wars kinda. Of words. It's, you know,
neither
of me or you, or I can't even finish this sentence.
Frog protection.
What about you? You've
been up I told you I wasn't watching Loki season 2. I gave a little half review earlier. So, as I'd mentioned, you know, it deals with, free will versus determinism, chaos versus order, the trade-offs that you have to accept between the two, you know, and mm-hmm. they actually do a good job at times where you're like, you're really kind of selling the order. And that's, you're also talking about how, like, heartless. I'm like, is this because China? Are you doing this for China? You're trying to sell this in China? And I won't tell you how it sort of breaks. It's, actually it breaks really well. The finale pays off really well. So it's season 2.
You're making that show sound very interesting.
I mean, it's really thoughtful. Okay. It might be my favorite Disney Plus property.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I really like it. If it wasn't so many episodes, I'd feel like, if it was a movie that dealt with those things, I'd probably go watch it again. I'm not going to watch all episodes again. They have a problem. They're Kang the Conqueror, the whole season is about, had like a domestic violence issue and like got kicked out of the he was like, he was the Iron Man of this next phase of their.
He got canceled.
He screwed up their whole fucking plan. I mean, it cost them billions of dollars. Yeah.
Wow.
Short Round is in it. He's a main character. Indiana Jones. Yeah. Yeah. He was in Everything Everywhere. And so he's kind of having a moment. He was good in it. Episode 5 of this season, not ruining anything, not spoiling anything. I wouldn't do that. I will say it's basically, Bill and Ted. The first Bill and Ted movie.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. If they had a phone booth, it'd be 100% Bill and Ted. And nice. Napoleon. If they had Napoleon. And remember, where are you going to find Napoleon? The Waterloo, Alan. All right. The amount of Bill and Ted references that come up in this show is surprising.
We might have to add that to our Mountain Dew and Rudy Giuliani.
We've been a Norm MacDonald podcast recently.
We have. I like that. I'm here for it.
I do too. Yeah. Other thing that I've watched is a Kevin Hart movie on Netflix that it's fine. Oh. I don't even remember what it's called. It's a heist movie. It's fine. It's a good
heist movie. I've seen the trailer. It didn't interest me.
I wouldn't avoid it, but I was like, damn it, there's nothing else to watch. I mean, sure. I like heist movies, you know.
Sure.
And Kevin Hart isn't unwatchable. The problem is there's still residuals from like 2016 or whenever he was like literally everywhere you looked.
Well, I mean, Cat Williams says he's an imposter.
Yes. I'm supposed to hate him because my friend Cat Williams. I know we don't play clips here, but I believe I have to play this clip to set up our final game for the week. So here's a bit of a news clip story from the news. It fits the news headlines show.
Shop at Cabela's Bass.
Well, I guess it wasn't ready.
If you've shopped at Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, or Dick's Sporting Goods, the feds are probably spying on you. Seriously. According to the House Judiciary Committee, the feds asked banks to search and filter customer transactions to look for extremism and constitutes as extreme.
I don't want to hear the rest of them. Have you seen these headlines, Alan? I'm going to close that.
I have not.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where at the beginning you're like, oh, okay, you've seen like shopping habits that you're interested in and you've directed people to look at it. And then it's like, you know, purchases at Bass Pro and Cabela's and Dick's Sporting Goods. It's like, yeah, that's kind of
a scary
dick move. Do you, I probably should have got this map ready if I was going to make this our final game. Let's see. I'm going to go to, what's it called? Bass Pro? Pro Shop. Store locator map. And then we'll name some states and we'll see if those states are if they're in the Bass Pro Shop Mason.
Okay, so a whole state, not just like a city or
There's states that don't have one.
Okay. All right.
View our store hours. Okay. All right. Oh, I got the map. Okay. Well, I guess I'll go back to presenting. No, I can't present or you'll see it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
Unless you want me to minimize the video window and then the viewers could see it.
Yes, minimize the video window, Alan, so the viewers can see it.
Okay, it's minimized.
All right, this is maximized. Okay.
This is weird because your voice is just like coming out of the ether.
This is how we used to do it. We couldn't see
it. This is how we used to do it, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to name 3 states and you tell me if they have Bass Pro Shops or not.
Okay. Are you going to do that thing where you, like all 3 do or all 3 don't?
No, but I'm going to do my best to get this right in my head before I do this. So
okay.
I'm going to do one. You're going to guess the state that does have the Bass Pro.
So out of the 3, only one does?
Yes.
Okay.
That's backwards, right. I should probably go another direction.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right. I got Montana.
Okay.
Washington, we're going Pacific Northwest here. Montana, Washington, and Oregon.
Okay.
Which one which one does have the Bass Pro? Of Montana, Oregon.
Montana, Oregon, or Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will say I have driven through Oregon and Washington down I-5 many, many, many times, which is kind of like the main drag through there.
Yeah.
See a 99. Lot of malls, a lot of shopping centers. I have never seen a Bass Pro Shops that I recall.
In either one of those states.
In either one of those states. Wow. However,
seems like a hunt and fishing states, you know?
They do. Oregon's a weird place, though. I could see them, I don't know, being weird about that. Also, obviously, they could not be on I-5. They could be somewhere else. I'm going to be sort of a contrarian here because Montana doesn't have a very large population, but I'm going to say Montana is the one that has it.
Montana has a Cabela's.
A Bass Pro Shop, I thought we were doing.
I know. Montana has a Cabela's. Oregon, okay. Oregon has a Cabela's.
Okay.
Washington has a Cabela's, but also a Bass Pro Shop.
Fuck!
Yeah, there's actually two Bass Pro Shops, unless one of these is one of these. Yeah, one of them, I think, is in Canada.
Damn, no points for me. No points. I wonder where it is. I've never seen it.
It's in Tacoma, Alan. Clearly.
Oh, I've been in Tacoma plenty of times. Yeah. That would make sense, though. That is where it should be.
Let's do one
it's
more.
In Washington. Okay, all right.
Let's do Utah, Colorado, and Minnesota. Which one has the Bass Pro Shop? Utah, Colorado, Minnesota.
All right. I'm going to say not Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so Midwest, Utah. Man.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't think the vibe's off for them. Utah or Colorado?
It's Colorado. I'm sorry. I was born there. I don't like it when people say Colorado. I said Oregon, sarcastic.
I'm going to go with Utah.
Utah has Cabela's, no Bass Pro.
God damn it.
Colorado. Come on. You forgot about Denver. Denver's got to have a Bass Pro.
So. Oh, of course.
Big
of
city course. Like that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm 0 for 2. Damn it.
Okay. Let's just pick a random state here.
Okay.
Wyoming.
Do they have or not have? Is what I'm saying?
Do they have or not have?
I don't think Wyoming does.
You don't think they have a Bass Pro?
No.
Do you think they have a Cabela's?
Yes.
Nope. They're like, fuck no, we don't need that shit. Billy Bob's
either.
Tackle Shop's got everything we need.
We whittle our own guns.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it.
We whittle our own guns. I'm not going to say anything better than that. Good one, Alan. I think I better ask you a question and we'll go home.
Okay, I'm going to put the
video. Oh, yeah. So we can look at each other again.
Yes.
I have a funny prank that I keep wanting to put out in the ether. So people, you guys, play this prank. This would be a hilarious prank that we can play. Okay. I think it would be a really fun prank to... inconspicuously apply just a small red Sharpie onto a roll of toilet paper.
Why?
What do you mean why?
Why would you do that?
So somebody wipes their butt and they think they're bleeding. It's just like one dot, you know? So they do it again, it's like it's not there, and then they always have to worry.
That's a horrible thing to do.
Okay, well, I can end the show like that.
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yes.
Okay, so back in my high school days, I'm not going to name any names, and nobody knows any of these people, so it's fine. There was a girl who told her parents that there was a needle stuck in the toilet paper that she used, and that's how she acquired a certain disease.
Come on.
She told her parents that because there was these rumors.
Was this around the time period where there were needles all over the place?
Yes. Yeah. And like
she got it from a toilet seat.
All of us knew it wasn't true, but fucking. Yeah.
There's no names here. What disease are we talking about? Is this a bad one?
Oh, I can't. Yeah.
She didn't die from it, did she?
No. Not that kind. Those ones that you just can't ever get rid of, I think.
Oh, no.
But I don't recall the exact variety. But yeah.
I think I do need to ask something if we're going to get out of here.
Okay.
Talk up records with Alan. I did that.
That was fun.
That was fun. I'm still upset with how poorly I did. Did I say the thing about Trump coughing?
No, I don't think so.
Don't you think it would be hilarious? Did I ask you about Trump coughing on a bong rip? Did I not? Did I just laugh at myself asking this in my head? Do you ever think about how hard Trump would choke on a bong rip?
That would be really funny.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you didn't already ask me that.
I feel like I have. I got one. Okay. You know that song that someone's in the kitchen with Dinah? Someone's in the kitchen, I know. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. What are they doing, Alan?
Do-si-do.
Strumming on the old banjo.
Right.
Strumming on the old, you know, you hear that as a kid and you think like maybe as you grow up, it's like maybe some infidelity. But like if you start thinking about the lyrics, just strumming on the old banjo, Alan.
Sure.
I think it's fingers, right?
You got to check the oil.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'll talk to you in a couple of days. Bye.
That was fun. Cheers.
When a guy's banging you.
Y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.